Matt, what's the most number of first downs a team could possibly get, theoretically? You got eight in that 9-minute drive yesterday. Is 10 the number?
I guess that would be the number, wouldn't it?
No, because 10 is 100 yards. You can only go 99 yards. You can't start on the goal line.
I guess you maybe only could get nine.
Maybe
nine
is the number?
So you almost did it, man. You almost maxed out.
Hey, we've never done this. I want to begin and end our interview with a question from one of our emailers. And Herb from Wilmington says, how much of Matt Cassel's improved play can be attributed to a better performance by the offensive line or something that Matt is doing differently? I'll let you handle that one, Matt.
I just think it's collective. Both we're just playing better as an offensive unit, and I think I'm continuing to mature and continuing to grow in the offense. And week in and week out, you just continue to play, and you see things, and you get better at it. And I think the offensive line has done an outstanding job. And a lot of, like we've discussed before, I think a lot of the early problems that we had early on with sacks and stuff like that, a lot of that can be contributed to myself, just trying to run around and make plays and do those things. And I think the offensive line have done a great job throughout the year.
Speaking of running around, is there a snowball's chance in hell that Tom Brady gets that first quarter touchdown run into the end zone without getting whacked before he gets to the goal line with his foot speed?
There's no doubt. Tommy's got good feet. You guys just don't know. You underestimated speed. He just, I think he would have scored on that as well.
Well, no one wants to see him run. You know, like when he runs, everyone holds their breath. And you know what, Matt, you're getting to that point. I said this earlier. You're a good slider. I don't know. You haven't had a lot of practice, but you do a nice job when you run. You seem to get down at the right point.
I'm trying to slide for you guys so you guys don't have to hold your breath for that long.
Damn good slider. That must be that baseball.
Need to work on my baseball slide.
Yeah, it must be that. Yeah, you could pop right back up, but then again, they might hit you,
if you do
that. Hey, how come, in simple layman's terms, how come you don't get sacked anymore?
I don't know. I mean, we're playing well as an offensive unit. Like I said, we're getting the ball out, and the offensive line is doing a great job. And,
yeah.
It's just, there's quite a few things that come into play. We're running the ball well, so it takes the pressure off me in the passing game, and we just got to continue to do those things.
Are you making quicker decisions?
Not necessarily. I think we're still running the same thing, but the running game's really helped out, and they're taking the pressure off me because they just can't be. We're not one dimensional, and we're running the ball really well, and so they have to play the run, and then therefore it slows up the pass rush a little bit. And also the offensive line has just done an outstanding job of giving me time and protecting.
Hey, Matt, what's the maximum number of check down reads there are for you in any given play? What would be the most in a particular play?
Well, from a check down standpoint, what do you mean, just going underneath, going through a read?
Yeah, going through a read from, your first read to your second, your third, your, I guess fourth. Fourth is about the max, isn't it?
You'd say fourth is about the max. You definitely would say that because you probably go to a primary receiver based on coverage. Then you get to your second receiver. You might swing your head around to a third receiver, and then usually your back is used as your outlet.
Yeah, and how many times do you get to four?
Whenever Kevin Falk catches the ball.
Hey,
sometimes, he might be the fourth reading the progression, but based on the defensive call or what I see, I might go to him a little bit quicker and bypass the guy here or there. So he sometimes becomes the primary receiver based on situation.
Hey, last week I asked you this question, and you dodged it in the politically correct manner. Who would you prefer to have for the rest of the season if you could only have one wide receiver, Moss or Welker? Let me rephrase that with a different kind of question. Who is the more dependable, if I get the ball to him, I know he'll do the right thing kind of teammate, Welker or Kevin Falk?
They're both dependable. They're both my guys, so I'm going to continue to stick to the politically correct answer. I wouldn't pick one over the other. They're both great teammates and great players, and so you just got to continue to spread the ball around, spread the wealth.
What makes Welker so good?
There's a number of things that makes Welker so good. He's just a guy that you love to have in the locker room. He's a guy that you love to have on your team and you love to play with because he works so hard. Diligent about his work. He goes out each and every day and gives you 115%, whether it's a walkthrough. You got to slow him down in walkthroughs because the guy's trying to jog and run through walkthroughs. And he's a special guy and he's a special teammate.
Does he want to? That's
really what makes him so good.
Does he want to go deep? Does he ever beg you to throw him one deep ball? I mean, does he Is that even a consideration?
He tells me all the time. He said he's sick of the short stuff. He wants to become a deep threat from now on. So we'll see what happens.
Wouldn't that fool him? You know, you send Welker deep one of these times, a little double move up the sideline?
We'll have to ask the coaching staff and see what they think.
Yeah, bounce that off him. I think it'll work this week, this Thursday night.
I'll tell him. We'll see if we can get in the game plan.
Hey, Matt, for the seventh time in nine games, the Patriots won the time of possession battle. That's six straight, by the way, including nearly 38 minutes yesterday. In addition, the number of plays was in your favor, 78 to 43. And I'm wondering, Matt Cassel, in the heat of the battle, in the context of the game, when you're out there, does it seem like you're out there all afternoon?
You know, you just go out there, and you start to notice that we've put together some long drives, and that's what we want to do as an offense. We want to keep their offense off the field. We want to give our defense some rest, and we want to continue to move the ball down into the red zone and score points. And so anytime we can sustain a drive and put together long drives, that's really the goal for any offense. And you don't really realize it as you're going out there and you're doing it. You're just kind of going up there and trying to execute and execute on third down and stay on the field.
Has there been a more satisfying, more efficiently methodically run drive than the 92-yarder that took more than 9 minutes off the clock yesterday?
I don't think so. That was a huge drive for us. We were backed up, and we got the ball, and we executed, and we converted on some tough third downs and took, like you said, nine minutes off the clock. It's hard to come back from that after you take 9 minutes off the clock and give them the ball with and go down, score a touchdown, and give them the ball with what I think it was 1:30 left on the clock.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It was a big drive.
Hey, when Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, before he scored the touchdown, you came over to the sideline after those two clock-eating sneaks that didn't accomplish very much yardage-wise, but yet eight more time off the clock. A, were those designed just to continue to run the clock, knowing that you were going to probably score one way or the other? And I thought I read Belichick's lips when you came to the sideline. He said, great job, perfect. What was the idea behind those two clock-eating sneaks?
I think we were trying to score, but the fact that we didn't score actually worked to our favor. So it worked out. It worked out well, and we knew we had four downs down there. So we tried the quarterback sneak twice. It didn't work out, and then we felt that on third down we'd run the ball and give it to Green Ellis, and he did a great job getting in the end zone.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'm just wondering, at home and the announcers, people are saying, oh, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, he hasn't scored. You know, he's worked hard. He's done a lot. It'd be nice to get him a touchdown. Does that ever come up either in the huddle or on the sidelines? Like, boy, I'd really like to get, you know, get this guy a touchdown.
You'd like to score touchdowns any way you can when you get down there in the red zone. And if it's to Ben Jarvis, then that's great. If it's to somebody else, then that's great. I don't think anybody's complaining if another guy scores, but you love to see a guy like Ben Jarvis, who's done a great job fulfilling that role in that void when some of those running backs went down, and he really stepped up. And to see a guy get in there and get his opportunity and really capitalize on an opportunity and then to score the touchdown like he did, that was great to see.
What do you guys call him? I don't believe you actually call him Law Firm. The announcers always say his nickname among the players is Law Firm. Is that what you call him?
I've never heard that name before in my life.
what do you call? You can't call him the whole thing. It's just too much. You call him Benny?
Ben Jarvis. We call him Ben Jarvis.
Ben Jarvis.
Hey, Matt, is it my imagination, or are we seeing more of Vrabel on offense than we have in the past? I mean, my recollection is that we'd see him down on the goal line in either blocking, run-blocking situations, or maybe an occasional, you know, flare-out into the flat to throw a pass to him as a tight end. But we're seeing him sort of in the middle of the field now, short yardage situations. Are you using him more than you have in the past?
Well, he's actually part of our goal line package, and so when you see him come out in the field on third down situations and third and short situations, something like that, mm-hmm. he'll come out in the field in that goal line package when we're trying to get a first down or do something like that. So he'll come out in the field at any point, not just in goal line.
Tell us how hard it is to get ready for a game when you have only 3 days. I mean, how accelerated is everything? How chaotic is it at practice and meetings, knowing that you only get these 3 days? I mean, you got to heal up too, don't you?
Right, you got to heal up, and everybody's got to be in the training room and getting their work done and getting their treatment, and then not only that, but you got to really prepare for these guys. Then the nice thing about playing the Jets is we're familiar with them; they're familiar with us,
right.
And they also have a short week, so it's not like we're playing a team that's had a bye week last week and they've had 2 weeks to prepare for us. We both have the same amount of time, and I'm sure our guys will be up to the challenge and preparation and getting ready for this game, and we'll put all of the work that we need to into it, and we'll be ready to go Thursday night.
I assume there's a slight advantage that you didn't have to travel yesterday and you don't have to travel on Thursday.
Yeah, but they only played half a game yesterday.
That's a good point.
Yeah, well, I think that's definitely a pretty big advantage when you don't have to travel, but at the same time, it's the same amount of preparation, and this is what we do for a living, so we just, everybody will be ready to go. It'll be a great environment come Thursday night.
If this were high school or college, everyone would be talking about how they hate the Jets and all that. You know, does that happen in the pros, or is it more professional where it's just another opponent? Do you feel the, you know, the rivalry and the hatred and the animosity between these two teams anymore?
There's no doubt you feel the rivalry, and you know that it's a big division game, and we're fighting for first place, everybody has a certain intensity when it comes to some of these games. The last week we had a great week of preparation, and there was great intensity out there at practice, and everybody knew that it was a big game. And going into this week, it's the same feeling. We know that the Jets are coming in here, and they're playing well, and we've got to bring our A game in order to walk out of here with a victory.
Hey, Matt, in that first drive yesterday, when you hit Welker toward the sideline for 21 yards down to the 17, were you aware that he was not in bounds, or at least it was a challengeable call? Because obviously your offense looked like it got to the line of scrimmage very quickly. I guess they tried to throw the red flag to challenge, but the officials didn't see it. A, were you aware that it was challengeable, and were you trying to hurry up and get that play called and run?
I didn't know that it was challengeable, but I think the coach was saying, hurry up, get this play, get the play snapped and go. And so we got it snapped, and we got off in time, and we're off and rolling. That's just part of football, baby. It's part of football.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to end with another emailer's question. This is from Bill in Rhode Island. What if Matt Castle wins the Super Bowl? What if Matt Castle throws for 10,000 yards? What happens if Tom Brady can only come back at 90%? What if Matt Castle's the league MVP? What happens if Giselle leaves Tom for Matt Castle?
That could happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of good things might happen down the road here, Matt. What happens with all that stuff?
You'd have to see when it happens. You know, it has no bearing on this week, and so we're 1 week at a time, and all that stuff is nice and hypothetical and everything like that, other than the part about Giselle. We've got a wonderful wife. Come on, how many things have to tell you that?
I know.
So,
go ahead.
But I know it's an emailer's question, but, you know, honestly, I take it 1 week at a time. I can't even think that far ahead to really concern myself with anything other than the Jets.
So what is your wife? What sport was she?
Volleyball.
Volleyball.
Right? Yeah,
she's a volleyball player. She's a stud, national champion.
What if your
team
kids?
Captain.
What if your kids? They want to like just play piano or become, you know, scientists or something. Are you going to discourage that? Because you're going to have some athletes. I'm thinking.
I'm definitely discouraging that unless they offer scholarships for playing piano.
I know the answer to this final question, Matt, but it's come up a number of times as your play has improved, as the team continues to rally and play well with you and behind you. Could you look somebody in the eye and tell them without a shadow of a doubt you haven't thought, even for a second, maybe as you were falling asleep at night, what this kind of opportunity and the success that might be ahead for you might do for your football career going down the road and you and your family's financial status for the rest of your life?
I really haven't thought about the financial. I really feel that I've been blessed to just have an opportunity to play, because if you go into the season, odds are, you know, Tom stays healthy and I don't play any significant role in the season. And just to have the opportunity to play for an organization like the Patriots and have a coach like Coach Belichick and Josh McDaniels coaching me and giving me the opportunity to play and play with all these great athletes and great players on this great team, I just feel really, really blessed, to be completely honest. And so just to have the opportunity to do it, I think about that a lot and just think how lucky I am to finally get out there and do it.
But my guess is you're having a heck of a time. You're having the time of your life, and this is a lot better than playing backup to any of the three guys you played backup to. And so I'm wondering, is the appetite there? Would you be not okay with but uncomfortable going back to that role, having tasted this kind of fun and this kind of success?
Well, it's fun to play, you know, and as a quarterback and as a competitor, that's what you want to do. You want to play and you want to get out there and you want to continue to do it if you can. So I don't know what the future has in store, and I'm just going to keep enjoying what I'm doing right now and see where that takes me.
Have you heard from Tom lately? And if so, how's he doing? How's he feeling?
I've talked to Tom, and he's doing well, and he's recovering well, and everything's going well with him.
I bet he's going to rush back. The way you're playing, he's going to come rushing back. Probably going to, you know, look to play by, I don't know, next week.
Once you get to the postseason, say, I'll handle it from here.
Yeah, get back.
He'll be ready next week, there's no doubt.
All right, Matt, you get a break this week. I know you have to hurry up and get ready for Thursday, but now you don't have to wake up Friday morning and talk with us. We'll give you a couple of days of the weekend off. We'll talk next Monday. Fair enough?
You got it. I'll miss you guys until then.
I know you will. You almost sounded legitimate when you said that, like you really meant it.
All right, guys.
Matt Castle with Dennis and Callahan.